Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here with you, joined alongside, live from the closet.
This is Resistance Radio from the bunker. Keep the fight up, people.
Who was that?
It was a resistance fighter. Wizkid from Wisconsin, Alex Gilhart, what's cracking?
Just so people understand, as I think we've mentioned on every Thursday pod, we have to record these out of a conference room.
Indeed.
Due to the studio being booked and us being the Harry Potters of the Dursley family that is
That's NFL media,
meaning we get kicked under the in the cupboard under the stairs.
That's right.
We're in a conference room right now with some weird setup that producer Chris put together here, but
yes.
Still bringing you the takes.
It does look like Rebel Radio, though.
It does.
Sure.
It does.
We have West Virginia's finest, Matt Harmon, in the building. What's going on?
Hey, man. I'm good. How are you?
No, he doesn't deny it.
Well,
West Virginia.
I mean, what am I supposed to do?
The other half of the fantasy hipsters, the magical beard of fantasy himself, it's Matt Franciscovich. What's up?
Let's go. I'm ready. Week four, let's go.
I feel as if the season is taking its toll already.
It is, yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's already week four? What?
Oh, man. We've got producer Chris in the building. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
I'm doing great. I just sat through about an hour and 15 of soul-crushing traffic.
Welcome to Los Angeles, baby.
Defeated. Coe's defeated right now.
I come in, and I'm angry with life. I'm questioning my existence, but I'm ready to talk fantasy football.
Thankfully, we're here in this podcast, though, to start things out on a high note.
All right, we got a great show in front of us lined up today. We're going to talk about some deep sleepers, maybe some early week four pickups. We will, of course, cover every damn game for you. We'll close out with daily daps, but we start with your top headlines. And your first headline out of Miami, Jay Ajayi. We got a lot of running back question marks here, but Jay Ajayi did not practice Wednesday. He's got a sore knee. Sounds like he might not practice all week, but he is expected to play. It's a London homecoming for Jay Ajayi, remember.
Mm.
How much concern, though, after his 11-carry, 16-yard performance versus the New York Jets, especially considering the injury, especially considering, remember, he came in to the whole draft process with this whole concerns over a degenerative knee condition, and now he's got this knee issue flaring up right now. How much concern, Matt Franchise?
None.
Zero.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints, it's a prime bounce-back spot for him against a Saints defense that's...
I mean, wasn't it a prime spot against the Jets?
Well, yeah, but the Jets were at home, and, you know, the Dolphins came in there all the way from the West Coast.
Okay.
And the Dolphins have been bouncing around the country the first couple weeks. Now they go to London. It's a tough travel schedule early in the year, but I think it's a good spot for the Dolphins' entire offense to bounce back against the Saints.
Wiz?
I'm not worried about it, especially long-term, too. I mean, it's one of those things you can't sweat. Like, what are you going to do? Sit here like, oh, my God, his knee. Like, we have no idea. You know, it's the same case with DeMarco Murray and his hamstring last week.
That's
they
true.
Were like, his hamstring's injured. We're like, oh, wait, you know.
Here comes Derrick Henry.
And then there goes DeMarco Murray. Right. So I'm not going to sweat Jay Ajayi and his knee thing. I think that's just always going to be there for him. And we know he's a great player. So you just be prepared to swap him out if he's out.
I would say this, though. Keep Kenyon Drake circled on
Damian
the waiver.
Williams.
Yeah, wrong back, bro.
No, look, man. I know that it's Damian Williams. I know it's some combination of Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams, but unless I'm missing something here with Kenyon Drake.
No,
he was in the offseason getting all the first team reps in the base packages there for Miami.
He went out for more snaps last week, but like all in the fourth quarter for the Dolphins. Didn't get on the field until late in the game. When Ajayi left the game, they put Damian Williams right in there.
And that was more the case last year too
You're right. No, it was the case last year, but again, the offseason you know, you guys talk about drum beats all the time, but the offseason, you know, practice reports were showing that Kenyon Drake was actually working with the base offense there in Miami. So that would be my hunch, but again, it's a hunch.
Yeah, we're all working on hunches here. We don't really like. There's no clear cut. Like, all right, this is the number two back.
Yeah,
I would probably prefer Damian Williams just because I think he's probably a better early down guy.
I think he profiles better that way.
But goal line guy.
But either way. Gross.
Okay. Each of Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake have a combined 4 carries on the season compared to Jay Ajayi's 39.
Hello.
So.
Yeah, so neither of these guys are going to be factors if Ajayi's out there.
Just names to know. Names to know right now. Melvin Gordon there for L.A. has not practiced as of Wednesday. We're recording early Thursday, and it's a West Coast team, so they haven't hit the practice field quite yet. But again, he's dealing with a knee issue as well. What would you tell fantasy managers out there, Matt Harmon?
Pick up Brandon Oliver. He's a guy that I've added on a couple rosters this week. He looks like the clear-cut. He looks like the clear-cut number two back, whereas opposed to
agreed.
In Miami, we don't have one. Melvin Gordon is likely to play. That's what Anthony Lynn said on Sirius Radio this morning. So there's that. Melvin Gordon's a guy who's been getting banged up pretty much since he's been in the NFL. Like, he's missed a couple games in his rookie year. He's missed a couple games in his second year. So I think Oliver is definitely like a priority hold right now.
CJ ProSize dealing with what Pete Carroll has described as a, quote, significant ankle injury, all but ruled out for Sunday versus the Colts. He could be out for a while if we're kind of listening to what is in between the lines here. But your thoughts, Matt Franchise?
My thoughts are this is a prime spot for Chris Carson to have a big game against the Colts.
He could have a huge game.
We already know. Look, CJ ProSize is their pass catching back. I think Carson slides into that role easily. You know, we saw Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls sort of be phased out of this run game.
Yeah.
And the Colts, people talk about the Colts having a good run defense. That's not a lie. I think they're only allowing about 85 rush yards per game, but they gave up RB6 performance to Gurley in week one. Week two, they faced a David Johnson-less Cardinals. And then week three, Duke Johnson was RB9 against them. So
I also wonder, too, you mentioned those teams. What do those teams want to get done, right? So, and I think about what Seattle wants to get done. They want to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think when Arizona plays the Colts, they would like to throw the ball, quite honestly. And the Colts defense, I mean, it's one of those units where you feel like you could pretty much do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Against that unit.
And with the Browns game last week, they fell behind pretty early. The final score looks a lot closer than the game was. The Browns really came roaring back in the second half. And they had some more – and not to mention, like, I just think that you want to be looking at the spot here for Chris Carson more, which is, like, they're a heavy home favorite, and that's going to give him a lot of carries, even if the matchup is not great.
Yeah.
And, again, I do think Seattle wants to run that rock quite a bit. Can I talk to you guys, though, about Thomas Rawls? I've seen him on a lot of waiver wires, and people are dropping him en masse.
We will allow that.
I wanted to get your thoughts on this because, to me, I don't think Thomas Rawls is a drop. Even if Chris Carson is dominating – right now, it's a situation where I think in Seattle, if Thomas Rawls starts to come back a little bit, I think he could win that starting job back. And again, I know fantasy managers are super hyped on Chris Carson. Of course, I'm hyped on him as well. But I just don't think Thomas Rawls is a guy that should be left on the waiver wire. But maybe I'm crazy.
I'd stash him if I have the bench space, but I wouldn't go crazy about it and drop somebody that's going to give me more reliable production if I'm, you know, streaming a position or have a lot of depth at wide receiver.
Yeah. All right. Pete Carroll did say this week that Rawls only played one snap last week. I don't think he had a carry, and he said there just wasn't enough work in the backfield to get him in there, which signals to me Chris Carson is definitely the guy, but also in games where they're going to be running more and it's going to be more of a run-heavy game, like volume for the backs, maybe we see Rawls kind of work in there, you know, to spell Carson in certain situations.
Thomas Rawls still recovering a little bit from his offseason injury, so something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll doesn't run committees there, so just something to keep an eye on. All right, Andrew Luck reportedly close to returning to practice, not to the game. He is, of course, out this week, but could be back at practice next week. The original prognosis was him coming back around, you know, week five or six. Is he worth an add if he's available on the waiver wire?
I'm not adding him yet because there's also rumors swirling and other people. I think it was like the pro guy, Pro Football Doc on Twitter said that Luck would probably need at least 4 weeks of practice, which wouldn't put him in game condition until November. And like, I'm not going to saddle myself with a quarterback that's not even playing on my bench for a month plus. I think we just have to wait now. This is encouraging, but hold off.
All right. I would say this, though, right? For the Colts, they're one of those teams. They're very Patriots-like where they – tell you stuff, but it's very cryptic. So I'm wondering how much work he's getting done away from the media.
They're not as good as the Patriots, though.
Yeah, true.
That's true. That's very true. Very true indeed. The Vikings, speaking of quarterbacks, are hopeful to have Sam Bradford back Sunday versus Detroit, but he did not practice on Wednesday. Again, I'll ask you, Matt Harmon, what do you do here with Stephon Diggs? I mean, obviously, we know that he had a huge game, but is it possible that Case Keenum comes back to earth even against a Detroit secondary that has, you know, given up a lot of pass yards?
I think this game could be pretty decently high scoring, and therefore I want to side on getting those Vikings in the lineup. I mean, I just don't know how – I'm never going to tell you to bench Diggs, like,
yeah.
Period. I wasn't going to tell you to do it in week two. That was wrong. I wasn't going to tell you to do it in week three. That was correct. But so maybe whatever happens week four happens week four.
I think he's still going to be in a good spot here. He's not going to go for a $173.2 or whatever he did last week, but I agree with you. I think this game could be sneakily high scoring because – the Minnesota defense at home is frightening, but Matt Stafford has a lot of weapons, and his weapons are in good positions, and we'll get more into this in matchups. But, like, Golden Tate will be able to avoid Xavier Rhodes and can help move the chains and stuff. So I think you got to start those guys. And Keenum, you know, as I think Franchise mentioned on one of the podcasts, that he'll have more time to practice, which we saw last week.
Mm-hmm.
And that offensive line is giving them protection, too, mm-hmm. still. So that's a big factor as well.
Hey, this is big news. Willie Snead is back.
Woo!
Yeah, it's kind of exciting.
Fun. Fantasy Fallout here. I'd love to get your thoughts, Whisket.
I wrote up this in the matchup too. I think it's like if you're feeling dangerous, you can start Willie Snead because the New Orleans offense hasn't been up to its usual standards thus far this year, and you think maybe the fact of missing Snead could be part of that. They've gotten good production out of Brandon Coleman. They've gotten some plays out of Ted Ginn and stuff, but
I feel like
a play. I mean, that's the Ted Ginn lifestyle.
Yeah, that's the experience.
you drop a deep touchdown, you catch a deep touchdown.
It's a revenge game for Ted Ginn.
I think Silva made this point. Like every week's a revenge game for Ted
Ginn.
That's
true. That's a fair point.
Also, this is the oldest of revenge games because Miami drafted him, right?
Yeah,
I'm not forgetting that.
So that's like original revenge, like original sin, original revenge.
Oh,
I don't know.
Man. But I think Snead.
I'll have to get in the lab and work on this.
Yeah. Well, this is like we did that Terrell Pryor revenge game last week. I guess it didn't pan out because
didn't pan out.
It's
told you
different positional things. So.
Told you doesn't count.
I don't know. Anyways,
idiots.
what a stupid discussion that spiraled off into. But I think Snead is an interesting play. I mean, there is concern that yes, he hasn't been with the team for 3 weeks, but he was with the team all offseason and practicing before this happened. So it's not like he's coming in super cold, but it's a dangerous spot, but it's a risky play because he could have limited usage, but it's a great matchup.
Did I see a Sean Payton quote saying that, you know, they weren't sure how much he was going to be used on his first game back and that they were trying to work him in a little? I mean, that would make a lot of sense, obviously.
Yeah. He's been away from the team for a hot minute here.
Right, exactly. So nearly a month here. So
why do you keep, like,
because it's hot in this
layers.
Closet, man. I don't know. I'm getting steamy. I'm drinking coffee,
like,
too.
For those listening, like 10 minutes ago, Harmon, like, unbuttoned all the buttons on his shirt. I'm like,
that's right.
I looked at him and he's like fanning himself. It's hot now. He's just taking off the shirt.
The takes are hot.
The takes are getting hot. I'm drinking coffee
because
it's 8:40 in the morning.
Plus we're in a closet.
Plus we're in this closet.
We're coming to you live from the bunker. Keep up the good fight, folks.
I don't know. Yeah, it's whatever.
Who was that? Oh man. All right. Let's talk about some deep sleepers. Here.
Derp slurpers,
shall we? I'll start because it's an extension of the news. Carlos Hyde dealing with a hip injury, not expected to practice all week.
I thought he has been practicing limited all week was what I saw.
Oh, is it? I literally just read that they were planning on keeping him out.
He was limited in Wednesday's practice.
All right. Well, maybe he'll be limited all
week.
And
Shanahan expects him to be limited all week per Cam Inman on Twitter.
There it is. And he is expected to play on Sunday, of course. But just given the hip injury, just given his history, I think Matt Breida is at least worth a pickup if you have the space on your team. He's worth the pickup. Now, again, you're not going to play him here.
No.
In week four, because Carlos Hyde is expected to go. But if you have the space, I think Matt Breida is a smart add. And again, you know, if Carlos Hyde does get hurt and he's got an injury history, pretty deep injury history, really, Matt Breida would be one of the top waiver wire guys to go pick up. So get ahead of the curve here a little bit. And if he's available on the waiver wire, see if he's available, go pick him up. All right, Matt Harmon, give me a deep sleeper and or an early week four pickup.
Yeah, this is somebody I definitely don't want to play this week, but I don't even know if I really want to pick up, but it's something worth monitoring. Juju Smith-Schuster, the rookie receiver for the Steelers, has seen his playing time increase after going out for 22 plays in week one, 36 in week two. He was up to over 61%, or excuse me, he was up to over almost 50 plays in week three. He saw 61% of his lineups from the slot, which is, I think, a nice position for him as kind of that big slot player. The Steelers' offense not firing on all cylinders. We can definitely talk about that later. But if they get right, we want to be interested in anybody seeing significant playing time in this offense. So I think he's somebody to worth monitoring.
A little bit of breaking news here from Ian Rappaport. He says Saints running back Adrian Peterson tweaked his knee a little bit in practice today. Sounds like his absence was a mix of a knee and a veteran day at practice.
He still
on
plays
Thursday.
The NFL?
Oh, man. Really, Brian?
I would say also with
shoes. I'm pissed about Peterson because
you drafted him all over
because,
the place.
Yeah, he's one of those players that, like, I don't even want. Yeah, I think I feel like I've ranted about this on the pod before, but I'm going to do it again. He's one of those players that, like, I don't even like, don't really want to get be involved with, not a fan, but I let ADP dictate the pick for me because I'm like, dang, he shouldn't be here this late, man. He's could be a touchdown back in a high-scoring offense, and he's on, like, so many of my teams, and I just don't know what to do with him. And
you
I'm just sick of looking at him.
You should drop him. I made that same
mistake.
Is he a cut at this point?
I think so.
But do I really want to cut him for, like, you know, to some jabroni just to cut him? I don't know if I want to.
When Mark Ingram gets hurt, you'll regret it.
Right.
You want to keep him in his 9 carries for 21 yards a game on your bench?
This not like that's what a lot of guys are getting these days, man.
Look, the Saints are just keeping him fresh for a playoff run, guys.
Oh, there you go.
Gross.
Oh, there you go.
So sorry to hijack the
that's okay. I was
for
gonna,
my own tears.
Before you left, Juju Smith-Schuster, I was going to say he has 3 red zone targets already in three games.
Yeah.
Too. So
yeah,
I like that call.
He's getting important usage.
All right, Franch, hit me with a deep sleeper slash early week four pickup.
Yeah, I think if you are a Jordan Reed owner, you have to add Vernon Davis right now before these games start.
Oh, yeah.
I like
the Redskins play Monday night against the Chiefs, so there's no other options if Reed doesn't go. Like, if he starts, you got to start Reed even if he is banged up. If he doesn't start, you can plug Vernon Davis in. He had 5 catches on 5 targets last week for the Redskins and a touchdown, 58 yards. Harmon was joking yesterday with me that it seems like 27-year-old Reed and 33-year-old Vernon Davis have changed bodies. Their souls have switched.
Some sort
like
of
Vernon
they did
Davis
some sort
looks
of,
like he
it's
found
a freaky
the fountain
Friday.
Of youth.
Yeah, they did some sort of like Wicca ritual or some sort of spiritual encounter thing where they have switched souls because Davis looks like the young athletic freak out
it's
there.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
And in how old is Vernon Davis?
33.
33 years old.
Because I tweeted that during the game last week. I was like, he's 33 years old. And he's like juking fools out of their shoes.
Yeah, he looks unbelievable.
There were guys. There were like Raiders just splayed out all over the field. Trying to chase Vernon Davis.
It's awesome.
It's interesting. I mean, when Vernon Davis was in his prime, he was doing those kind of things.
Yeah.
He was an athletic freak. But we have not seen that dude.
He did have
in
a lot
of
room of to
4
regress
years.
Athletically. Like he was at the peak. Maybe now he's like at the 80th percentile.
Right. Yeah. Just still like 20 ahead of guys like Jason Witten.
But
and stuff,
with
but,
you know with the Redskins pass catchers kind of struggling there, I think Cousins kind of has eyes for that tight end position, and he has a rapport with Davis. So
all right,
I like it.
And he's been on the team what now? This is his third year.
Second year.
Was last year his first year?
I think last year was his first.
Interesting. All right, Wizkid, what you got? Deep sleeper, early week four pickup.
He is a man with tiny hands, but lightning quick speed, and he's coming back from injury with an ascending young quarterback. Will Fuller, guys.
Oh.
We've long forgotten about him.
We have,
coming
indeed.
Back. Broken collarbone. He's been practicing. He could play this week. I'm guessing he might not, or if he is, he's extremely limited. But next week, they get the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Could be a high-scoring game. And the week after that, the Browns.
Interesting.
So, it's a good call.
Will Fuller is there. This passing attack could be hitting its stride a little bit with Watson. And we know he can't like to chuck it deep on occasion.
He does.
So, and if there's going to be somebody that profiles that, it's obviously the speed demon Will Fuller. So
I like it. You know what? And it's good, too, because it opens up the door, opens up opportunities, I think, anyways, for Nuke Hopkins, right?
Yes.
A little bit less double coverage over the top, so that'll be interesting.
And their best receiver, Bruce Ellington.
And just that Nuke Hopkins doesn't need to get pummeled with 22 targets.
Thank you.
That's also good.
There you go. All right, let's do EDG every damn game. We'll start in London. Remember, this is early, folks. Set your lineups.
Do it on Saturday. Don't
mess around, man. If you've got some Saints, if you've got some Dolphins, Set your lineup early, man.
This sucks, too, because, like, last week it was, like, the Ravens and Jags. Yeah. Like, who cares?
Right.
But, like, these are important fantasy players.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you don't want to somehow get yourself screwed and, like, oh, crap, Michael Thomas on my bench. Something like, I don't know.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Last week was the defensive runoff game. This game could legitimately have, like, 60 points scored in it between these offenses.
It could.
I think you're starting all your Saints. It's great, too, that this is a weird, like, London narrative, but the Saints traveled there early in the week and have been practicing all week. Been seeing hilarious stuff on Twitter. Like Cam Jordan was like, get your beans out of my breakfast. Like, I don't want them in there because, like, a traditional, like, British breakfast has beans in it. And he's
gross.
Like, I don't want that. These are random things that are bumming up. But this is good because it's a big time difference. And you see this with teams that go early versus show up late, which the Dolphins are. I don't think they're flying there until yesterday or today or Friday.
It was franchise noted. They've been flying all over the freaking country.
No, seriously, they've had a brutal – they missed
brutal.
Week one. They
totally
had
brutal.
Where'd they go? They flew west
yeah,
to
they
play
went to
the
LA.
Chargers.
They went to L.A. Then like 2 weeks early because they were off week one.
Flew
right.
back to the East Coast to
yep.
New York.
Down to Miami,
right.
now across to London.
It's
so that's brutal.
It's brutal,
so,
man.
So I think Drew Brees is going to smash this week. I'm okay with Mark Ingram as a low-end flex, especially if Peterson's banged up now. He's been leading that backfield in touches and, like – he's just a safe floor, but if, like, he takes over more of a role and gets into the end zone, you're in a great spot. You want to start Michael Thomas this week. I already mentioned Willie Snead's kind of a dangerous play, but that's what it is. Colby Fleener, I'm worried about him now that Snead's back and everything has been changing.
Dump him.
He played less last week and had fewer targets, so.
Fleen dog, just dump him? Just kick him to the curb
absolutely.
Like that, Cole?
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
Wow.
He's getting the boot.
We're obviously not starting any defenses in this game. Jay Cutler, I mean – last week was a great matchup, and we all called that he was going to fall on his face. So this week, I guess, is probably the Jay Cutler bounce back, right?
I think there's too many good streaming options this week for me to go back to the Cutler.
There are too many, but maybe if you want to make a daily lineup with him. But
it's just like I said last week, you can do that and then be ready to hate yourself in 3 hours.
Yeah, that's absolutely what it is. The tilt is going to be unreal. Ajayi, as long as he plays, is good. I think Devontae Parker's in a great spot.
Yeah, buddy.
Landry, PPR, obviously. And then Stills, if you need a deep shot,
I think he had
10 targets last week?
Also a revenge game.
Oh, God, that's right. It's a good revenge game. Because he got, traded, and I think he was kind of butthurt about that.
Yeah.
Oh, but, yeah, Stills' revenge game, top 20 wide receiver. Just
calling
it
right now.
By
the way, I think food take here, beans and breakfast, not bad.
No, I like British breakfast.
Like
if it's like a burrito or something.
Well, that's different. But I mean,
is it though? That's what I don't understand. How is that different?
Well, I just mean like you're expecting the beans to be in a burrito. That's one thing. But like I posted this on my Instagram when I was in Montreal a couple of months ago. Like just a big plate of breakfast food and then like a little bit of beans in there. It was a good mix. So Cameron Jordan. Get yourself together, bro. Like
you,
it's good.
You have to know what to do with it. Like you want to. I like what with a sausage and toast. Like that's good. That's a nice hearty breakfast there.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't
it's
understand.
It's like a precursor to a nap. Like it's not a let me eat this before I go to work sort of breakfast. But you know.
Or play a football game.
Well, I'm sure that's not what they're slamming back before they
might be.
Are we sure?
I love how we're out of this deep discussion of the full British breakfast.
Yep. Exactly. where are we here? Carolina traveling to New England. Kelvin Benjamin didn't practice Wednesday with that knee injury. I would be absolutely shocked if he plays Sunday versus the Pats, but we shall see. Matt Harmon, what do you got on this game?
Woof. Carolina is in a rough spot.
Are they? The Pats' defense has been
bad. But
you know
they've
been, worse?
Been bad.
The Panthers' offense.
Yeah, they can't really pass protect right now. Ryan Khalil missing the last couple of games has been a big deal to their running game especially. And Carolina is just – I mean, their top two pass-catching threats outside of Christian McCaffrey, Greg Olsen and Kelvin Benjamin, not there. It's a huge deal. I mean, they're relying on guys like Devin Funchess and Ed Dixon, which is not where you want to be.
How dare you besmirch the name of Russell Shepard?
Listen, he's barely on the field. I mean, he might get out
he
there more
like
now.
He was like deep sleeper after week one.
That's why I was joking.
That is actually a pretty decent – I have an appreciation for Russell Shepard, and the Patriots have given up a lot of production to slot receivers, and he's been running routes out of the slot. So that is, you know, I don't know if I can ever recommend you do that, but that's something to watch.
Danger zone,
sprouts
maybe.
And slot routes.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of danger zone action.
God. I have so many danger zone guys this week because there's so many interesting matchups out there.
There definitely is. And the biggest problem, of course, like the elephant in the room, is the fact that Cam Newton's just clearly not there yet.
He ain't right, man.
Yeah, he's definitely still struggling. Coming off this shoulder injury, and you know, it's a mess right now. The only thing you can really count on in Carolina is the fact that Christian McCaffrey likely gets a lot of balls thrown his way, negative game script in New England.
Yeah.
On the Patriots side, I like Mike Gillisley because they should be a heavy home favorite. That is New England, and those are the type of games where you want to roll the two-down banger out there.
Yep.
And in the passing game, I mean, you kind of know what you're getting yourself into at this point. It's Gronk. Brandon Cooks is volatile. It's a pretty decent spot for him.
Chris Hogan.
And Chris Hogan is he's in like that low-end wide receiver three, wide receiver four territory to me, where I don't really want know if I want to be counting on him at this point. Hmm.
Okay. Pittsburgh taking on Baltimore. Franchise, what you got?
This matchup is an interesting one. Historically, these games are always low scoring.
True.
Since 2008, including postseason games, Steelers averaged 19.2 points per game. Ravens averaged 20.6 in these division matchups. So
that even feels high. I would have guessed it was lower.
I would have guessed lower too, yeah.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's not a lot of points. And the Ravens are coming back from this mashing in London against the Jaguars, so hopefully they're looking to get right. Both defenses are pretty solid. Everyone's kind of off the Ravens' defense. It's a good bounce-back spot. Like Harmon said, Pittsburgh's offense is not firing. You're still starting Lev Bell. You're still starting Antonio Brown. I don't think you can go with Martavis Bryant. He has had three or fewer receptions in each game this year. Like we said on Monday, he's one of those guys who really needs a big play to pop off. And then on the Ravens side, Flacco's been one of the worst quarterbacks in fantasy this year. Quarterback 25 in week one.
He's got a herniated disc in his back. I mean, can you really play him at this point?
No.
Shout out to the listeners.
You don't start Flacco.
That tweeted us that Kareem Hunt has more rushing yards than Joe Flacco has passing yards. Amazing. That was great.
Sad.
That's crazy.
He was the QB 14 in week two, and then last week he was the QB 37, which means you could have started quarterbacks who had – you could have started Davis Webb, who had 0 points. Flacco had negative points. 2.88 points with 28
passes.
I knew
I should have started Webb.
The other thing with Flacco, he's failed to complete a pass of 10-plus air yards in 2 of 3 games this year, which is not good for him. It's not good for his wide receivers. Mm. It's not good for anyone. The only guy I think you can kind of start with confidence on the Ravens' offense is Buck Allen.
Yep.
We saw Chicago kind of rip Pittsburgh up on the ground game last week. Mm-hmm. Chicago's running backs combined for 9 receptions against Pittsburgh. Buck Allen gets work in that aspect, so I kind of like Allen as maybe like a high-end flex against the Steelers.
I will say I looked at this too. Sorry to cut you off. No, but Alex Collins, like people were worried about him. 7 of his 9 carries came in the fourth quarter when the Ravens were down 44-0.
Yeah, he's just a stash.
Yeah,
right,
he's a stash. So don't be worried about the workload.
Is he even
there
worth a stash?
Yeah, I think he's a good stash because he's in a question backfield with question marks, and running back thirst is real. I don't know. I mean, not a priority stash, but he's just something to keep an eye on. What I was going to say is let's just get this on the record. You know, I think the biggest problem with Pittsburgh right now is their quarterback.
Yeah.
Their quarterback's not playing well.
And he doesn't play well on the road.
Yeah.
The Ravens have a tough defense.
Terrell Suggs, don't believe that.
I think you got it. I think
he's not buying those mind games, bro.
This is one of those weeks you bench Big Ben and pick up one of these streaming
guys.
I think
you can cut Big Ben, like, right now because – look, this, like I said, this offense is dysfunctional. Like, there's just too many quarterback options. And quite frankly, like, I know a friend of the show, Justice Mosqueda, tweeted this out yesterday that everybody's talking about Cam doesn't look right, Palmer doesn't look right. And he was like, why are we not talking about Roethlisberger? I'm like, why have we not been talking about Roethlisberger this way for like a year? He hasn't looked good in the last like calendar year at this point. So I don't know. He's just not a guy that, until this offense is firing on all cylinders, I don't really have any interest in playing Ben, period. Home, road, whatever.
And I think you raise a good point too, though, that we want to, like, there's an affinity that a lot of fantasy players have, especially casual players, for big name quarterbacks like Big Ben, Cam, and stuff like that, wanting to pick up Luck.
Right.
But we cannot be attached to these guys if they're not doing anything.
Position's meaningless.
Cut them loose and pick up somebody that's scoring points.
I think the reason there was so much optimism for Big Ben, though, is because he had all his guys
back. The big four were there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and it makes sense, but I just think he's the guy was talking about retiring.
True.
Like, I think he's in decline. I don't think he can make the same throws, the same plays. You know, and it's funny, just talking – this, not to get on a tangent here, but, like, you're talking – quarterback is meaningless. Tight end is meaningless. Kickers suck. Defenses suck. Like, it's basically, like, who's got the best running backs and receivers is really all fantasy is, and the rest of it is just, like, I don't know. Good, play literally any quarterback, and good luck at that tight end position.
Oh, man.
Why are we doing this again?
Matt Harmon just coming up just with a blowtorch to the entire fantasy industry. Come on, man. Jags taking on the Jets.
It's a good – yeah, it's a bright segue.
Matt Forte, week to week, as he's dealing with a toe injury, unlikely to play on Sunday. If you thought this was going to be a two-man rotation, though, in New York, the Jets then went out and signed another flippin' pass-catching running back in Travaris Cadet. So it's Elijah McGuire, it's Bilal Powell, and now Travaris Cadet in New York. What an interesting signing that was. But Alex Gelhar, your thoughts here.
Well, I think we'll start with the Jets since that was kind of the lead-in. I think Bilal Powell is actually like a decent start this week.
I agree.
He figures to be the lead guy like Elijah McGuire will mix in, but Powell's got pass-catching upside. The Jags haven't been that great against the run either. So I think he's in a good spot. I don't know that I'm starting anybody else on the Jets. Maybe streaming Austin Seferian Jenkins since
he did something last week.
He was on the field for 78% of their offensive plays in his first game back from suspension. Yeah, he saw six targets. So, like, I think he's in the mix. Their wide receivers are just too up and down, flip flopping. Like, they don't have consistent volume or volume I want to go after.
Okay.
But on the flip side, I think that if you're hurting for wide receiver looking for production, Alec Hearns and Marquise Lee might be in flex consideration now. Yeah. Where was this?
Hearns is near the top of the league in red zone targets.
I mean, over the last 2 weeks, Lee's had 19 targets, 11 catches, and 141 yards. And right. Hearns, like you said, has had four red zone targets in those last 2 weeks with two touchdowns.
Hearns is also that guy that can go over the top. And if the Jets can struggle anywhere, well, they struggle everywhere. They especially struggle over the top as well.
I think if they can struggle.
I think they're both in the mix. You want to start the Jags D. They're on the road. You'd prefer them to be at home, but they're still a good streamer this week.
And then, I love them this
obviously,
week.
Obviously, you're starting Fournette. He's just smashing. He's scored in every game this week, and only Carlos Hyde and Todd Gurley have more opportunities inside an opponent's 5-yard line than
you Fournette. Streaming Bortles?
I'm not streaming Bortles.
Nah, dude.
I'm not. I'm not feeling. That
I don't
want
to do it either. But I'm just saying, give the guy some credit. He managed to not come to that London game completely smashed, and he looked good.
I think the Jaguars are coming back from London while the Jets have been chilling in New York for the last week.
That's a good point.
Coming off a home win against the Dolphins, I think the Jets' defense is a nice sleeper. They're like the least owned defense
it
in
is Blake
fantasy
Bortles.
Right now.
It is, but he's due for a pick six at some point.
He's definitely due. And we saw the Jets shut Jay Cutler down last week. So
it's a good point.
All right, Tennessee at Houston. My personal thoughts is I feel like it's a trap game big time for Tennessee following their big win against Seattle. But regardless, Corey Davis has been ruled out. Again, for the Titans with the hamstring injury, second week in a row.
Rishard Matthews, baby! he got it done last week. I talked him up on this podcast about us maybe being a deep sleeper.
Rishard Matthews has been getting it done forever.
That Evan Silva tweet was great. Like, the last, 10 games or whatever for Rishard Matthews, he has balled out. He's got over, collectively over, 1,000 yards, 69 catches or something
like
that.
But did he do anything before that crazy spin move?
He had a couple catches.
Okay, I'm just curious. I mean, look, he's got that. I'm saying he's got that in his arsenal, but I mean, I was just wondering about volume because I wasn't sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, with Corey Davis out, he's the top outside receiver, you know, no question. Decker's, usage has been there. He's been on the field plenty. He's running a ton of routes. He's getting some red zone love, but, just doesn't seem to be happening.
Yeah,
and I think he could. He doesn't look as good to me just watching the games, which is not surprising. I mean, the guy had a hip injury, an upper body injury.
He had two surgeries, hip and shoulder.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yep. So I don't know. I'm not really. Decker's not a guy I'm I don't really want to cut, but I'm not desperate to hold on to, and I'm definitely not playing. Even if he goes off, I feel like
he's in that Jeremy Maclin range where you're should I cut him? Should I not cut him?
You know he's
him?
A good player.
He could get rolling at any moment,
and
then you're kind of kicking yourself. But at the same time, I think the process to a decision to cut Eric Decker is fine, even though that hurts to say. In the backfield for Tennessee – I think this is going to be a committee going forward. Mike Mularkey basically kind of said they want to get both of these guys the ball, and they should. I mean, they're the two best players on their offense, in my opinion. And I'm okay. I think both those guys are in flex range, Henry and Murray. On the Texans side, I think Deshaun Watson is a pretty good streamer in this game. I mean, he is. I know Franchise wrote him up as a streamer. I had him in deep dive. I mean, he's running the ball, and that always helps.
He's getting Will Fuller back.
I don't really care about that as much. But
it's an extra weapon.
It's an extra weapon.
Oh, he's got your boy.
He's got Bruce Ellington.
You know?
Yeah, and look, Bruce out there for 99% of the plays.
Hey. Wow.
In week three.
That's a lot.
Yeah, coming off a concussion. I mean, a guy that they barely kept on the roster, or not barely kept, but fought to make the team.
Right.
So I mean, I definitely like Ellington in this game, and okay. I just
I have never wanted something to happen so bad as I do him to break out.
Nice.
I like literally anything in my life. This is what I want. This is what I want the most.
Oh my Lord! I
hope more than Rashard Higgins.
Oh hell yeah, hell yeah! Because it's more of a funny journey.
By the way, that's a hilarious juxtaposition. If you just blowtorch the whole fantasy industry and community, now you're like, only thing I want in life. Is
I didn't. No. I'm not blowtorching the community or the industry. I'm blowtorching the game and how ridiculous this
okay.
is.
Okay, I mean, that's
same difference.
The same thing.
No. Well, I'm just
look. What you're doing is you're blowtorching the house that we all live in.
Right,
you know
bro.
What I mean? It's like
I didn't say it was bad. I'm just pointing out facts here. I'm still here. We're still doing this.
Oh,
it's just
man.
let's be upfront about it. It's basically who's got the best running backs and wide
God,
receivers.
We're not even into 4 weeks and we've already got Nihilist Harmon coming through.
Yep.
Just. Blowtorching everyone.
Little overdue, but here we are.
Can we please get Dante Foreman more involved here, please?
I would love
that's
that.
That's a good mention.
We're
Sorry,
watching we're Lamar Miller's snap count go down every single week, so there you go. All right, Detroit taking on Minnesota. Franch, what you got?
Yo, the Vikings offense is cooking right now. You guys get it? Cooking? LOL? No? All right.
That might be the only time we've ever had, like, straight-up dead air.
And it was worth it.
The Vikings have the second overall offense in the NFL, third-ranked pass offense. They're tied for second in big plays. The rush offense is ranked 11th, thanks to Dalvin Cook.
By the way, can we just say, how crazy is this? Because Minnesota last year.
Is it hashtag crazy?
It's not hashtag crazy. Thank you.
Yikes.
But, I mean, the Vikings last year. They struggled, man. That offensive line was ravaged. I mean, it was just
they had no
it was
run
a,
games.
They had no run
Diggs
game.
Was hurt.
You know what I mean? It was a chore
and
for them to score points.
They switched coordinators midway through the season.
That's
like,
right.
That's why. Like,
that's right.
This,
yeah.
I keep referencing this article, but like I wasn't the only one. But if you read the tea leaves, like this offense was set to explode because they had to trade for Sam Bradford right before the season. They changed offensive coordinators. Everything we mentioned. Now it's all coming together and it's great.
It is
great
good.
Players.
It's
it.
Nice.
Yeah, so, really good players.
Yeah.
I mean, you're starting helps. Diggs and Thielen. They're like one of the most lethal wide receiver duos in the league right now. They
Indeed.
Have 36 combined receptions. That's first. 592 combined receiving yards. That's first in the league. Diggs is the wide receiver one. You know, some people might be a little nervous about the matchup against the Lions because the Lions are the top fantasy defense in the league.
Okay.
But they've had some luck. They have 7 picks and a couple
pick
defensive
sixes.
Special team scores.
Right.
So don't, like, let that get in your head. Their defense is, like, middle of the pack
they
when
sure
it comes down to
it.
They
for sure have 2 pick sixes and that punt return touchdown or whatever against the Giants. So that's a huge
That will inflate fantasy points. But
Darius
in a real-life defense, they're about middle of the pack.
Yeah, I would say they're improved from last year. Picking up, what is it, Jerod Davis, you know, as their other corner next to Darius Slay has helped them a lot. But I think he's still dealing with injury. I'd have to double-check that. But no, you're right. The Detroit defense is improved, but they're not a shutdown defense.
And Dalvin Cook, you're starting him. He's a workhorse, 25, 14, 32 touches in the first 3 games, 288 rush yards. I mean, he's a running back one.
He's crushing.
Hopefully Case Keenum can keep this going. On the other side of the ball, the Lions – like Gelhar said earlier, I think you can rely on Golden Tate here on the underneath routes because you can't really trust the Detroit's outside receivers, Jones and Galladay.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of too volatile. Like Jones, maybe one of them scores, but you can't bank on it.
What do you guys think Xavier Rhodes does?
Exactly. Rhodes closed, baby.
Rhodes closed, baby.
Rhodes closed,
Rhodes
baby.
Rhodes closed.
He's held opposing receivers to 11 receptions, 113 yards, and 0 touchdowns on 21 targets in coverage, and that is Michael Thomas, Antonio Brown, and Mike Evans.
That's insane.
I think they leave him on one side like
they
did in week one.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what they did in week one. He was mostly just playing at right corner, which is funny because then Thomas was mostly playing on the other side of the field. They just still didn't really get going. But, I think they end up playing him on the right side and just leave him there. I don't think they have him shadow either of these two other guys.
Because he shadowed Antonio Brown.
And he shadowed Evans.
And he shadowed Evans.
And that was that was their plan with him last year. Like, he was not an exclusive, like, shadow corner. They just decided, like, when they thought it was necessary.
It almost might be a case where they only want to shadow funnel receivers, which is, like, Michael Thomas, as great as he is in the Saints offense, that offense
always spreads
it around.
Yeah, they spread it around.
Which is the same with this one. And it's actually why I kind of like Marv Jones in this game.
I kind of like him, too.
Because he lines up on the right side of the field 51% of the time.
Call.
That's where Minnesota's actually been the most susceptible. They've given up, I think, 3 touchdowns to the right wide receiver. And,
is that right?
Yeah, they've
you know what?
That and the second most receiving yards, 256.
You know what's crazy? That all lines up because Matt Stafford is so much better throwing deep to the right side than versus deep to the left.
Yep.
I forgot what the difference is, but it's something crazy where it's like Matt Stafford throwing to the deep right has like 121 quarterback rating, and then throwing to the deep left, it's like 53.
But so I mean, there's a chance that could be Galladay, but Marv Jones plays more often, and he's their most frequent guy to line up on that side of the field in that spot. So I think, like, I mean, he's only got a couple catches and a couple touchdowns this year, but this could be the type of game where we said if it's a shootout, Marv Jones.
I kind of like him there too, man.
Could sneakily have a big game.
All right, there you go.
One more thing. Please. I don't think you can be confident in starting Amir Abdullah. He's the running back
ever.
31 nope. through 3 weeks, no touchdowns, and the Vikes held Jaquizz Rodgers to 15 rush yards on 5 carries.
Dude, can I just say, I had this crazy dream last night.
Oh, now we're talking.
Were you dreaming about running backs?
Dude, I was.
Because I was too.
No, I swear to God. I woke up and I was like, man, that's crazy that Amir Abdullah went for 150 and a touch. And I was like, whoa,
oh,
wait a second.
Oh, damn.
I just woke up. This is weird.
Well, that is crazy.
I just
James,
woke
he
up.
Set a career high with like 86 rushing yards the other week.
I'm just telling you. I'm telling you, it was just crazy. I was like, whoa, that was weird. And then I realized I'm having a crazy dream right now.
Speaking of which, though, Theo Riddick, this might be a good game for him, I think.
We said that last week, bro.
He still had 7 targets last week.
Yeah, he's playable in PPR, but
yeah,
man,
PPR.
Standard,
I mean, I'm not like
tough.
Saying, you know.
You
yeah.
just said he was going to be the running back one.
That's what you
just
said.
Wow, got me.
Locked it in.
You
called me out.
Cincinnati.
I got to stand by my word.
Cincinnati at Cleveland. Tyler Eifert's going to miss multiple weeks with a back injury. That, according to a report from Adam Schefter.
Sad.
Remember, Eifert underwent back surgery this offseason. I will assume. He is droppable in most formats.
Yeah, I'd drop him. You just why saddle yourself with an empty tight end spot? Like you have to stream the position basically anyways, unless you have Gronk, Kelsey, or Ertz. So just cut him loose and then live the stream.
There you go.
In this matchup, though, I think like it was good to see Andy Dalton get back to being like the Dalton we knew, not like a game changer, world breaker, but a couple hundred yards, a couple touchdowns.
I think when the game got tight, he absolutely folded.
Yeah. But I think he and AJ Green are in a great spot this week. They want to get the ball out quicker, and they'll just pummel Green with targets again. And then in the backfield, Joe Mixon, man, he saw 62% of the backfield opportunities, which bested the previous high of a Bengals running back, which was 40% in week one. That was also Mixon. And I think his production, he's just going to keep getting the rock more and distance himself from the other guys moving forward. But other than that, on the Bengals side, I mean, yeah, you can start their defense, though, against this offense. Kaiser's one of the most sacked and is the most intercepted quarterback in the league.
Oh, wow.
And then on the flip side, I mean, like, the Browns offense, it just kind of needs to find its find itself, find an identity. I think you can flex Duke Johnson because
man.
He's
on the rise, baby.
He is on the rise, and Crowell has been struggling so much. Like, right now, Johnson still, I don't think, has double-digit touches in a game.
I was going to say, didn't he have 8 last week?
But it's still trending up slightly. So if you want to flex anybody, I think you can flex him. But the wide receivers, Higgins crashed back down to earth. Britt's too inconsistent. Their tight ends are a bunch of athletic playmakers, but they're divvying up snaps like right down the middle and targets right down the middle. And like when we're looking for streamers, you want somebody that's a higher percentage player and is getting more targets. So
yeah. Doesn't Joku have touchdown in each of the last 2 games now?
Yes.
Interesting.
But they're still splitting snaps between him and DeVal.
Yeah.
DeVal.
It's like
the
right
DeVal
down
out
the middle.
Here.
Yeah.
I think both those guys. I mean, but the fact that all the questions in the offense, they should find ways to get both those guys on the field.
But like right now the targets are just getting splayed all over the place, and we don't have any sort of consistent, reliable person. Johnson's really the only one I would look to this week from that team.
L.A. Rams in Dallas taking on Big D. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
I'm really excited about this game.
Me too.
I'm having a lot. Things I didn't expect to say in 2017. I'm having a lot of freaking fun watching the Rams.
Hats off to Sean McVay, man.
Yeah,
that
dude.
Offense is a blast.
Awesome. Awesome. 100%. I wrote about that for the Next Gen piece after that Thursday night game. And just like if there was ever a situation where that data really told the story, what he's done with this offense is really good. And just the fact he has Jared Goff throwing into tight windows, the fewest percentage of his passes in among quarterbacks, whereas he was leading that category last year. Just a huge, huge win for the Rams to get Sean McVay in the program. So for fantasy, I think all of these Rams are in pretty good spots. Not scared of the Dallas defense outside of DeMarcus Lawrence, who deserves a cap tip because he's killing it right now. But secondary can be exploited, so I'm not afraid of streaming Jared Goff in this spot. Hopefully Sammy Watkins plays. I don't know if anybody's seen an update on that, but he was in the concussion protocol after that Thursday night game.
I think he's practiced limitedly, but he's not out of protocol yet, so we have
right. So hopefully we see him get cleared, because obviously him being a big difference maker in that offense is huge,
big time.
If he doesn't go, though, I think Robert Woods is interesting. I had him in deep dive this week. He also eclipsed 100 yards last week, saw the same amount of targets as Sammy Watkins. So if Watkins is out, Woods is interesting. Kupp has kind of fallen back to the pack. He's not somebody I'm really prioritize holding right now. And of course you're starting Todd Gurley. And on the Dallas side, definitely like Dak in this spot.
What do you do with Dez?
I mean, you play Dez. Look, he's come out of this ugly start to the season against Denver, Janoris Jenkins, and Patrick Peterson with a couple of touchdowns. So I think we've seen the worst of it for Dez.
I agree.
So I'm playing him really confidently in this spot and probably going forward, to be honest. You're still playing Ezekiel Elliott. I just think you were lowering expectations for him because that offensive line is not playing as well, and he's not playing as well. Just doesn't look like the same guy yet. So,
all right, where are we at? Oh, Bills taking on Atlanta. Sorry, lost my place here. Bills taking on Atlanta in the Dirty South. Franch, what you got?
All right, Shady McCoy, man. He hasn't been great the last two games, but he's faced some tough defenses, Carolina
Very
and Denver.
Tough.
So I think this is a get-right game for him. He's one of the only guys in this Bills offense you can confidently start. The Falcons, last year they gave up the second most receiving yards to running backs. This year they're a bottom five team in the same category.
Interesting, okay.
Shady's a dual threat,
I like it.
I think you roll him out for a bounce back. Maybe you can stream Charles Clay as a tight end here. The Falcons haven't given up a touchdown to a tight end yet, but Clay behind McCoy is second on the Bills in targets. So if the Bills get down, I can see Clay getting a bunch of targets here. I don't think you're starting Tyrod. I don't think you can start. Tyrod on the road is just different than Tyrod at home. Zay Jones, Jordan Matthews, any of these. Andre Holmes is like a deep, deep, deep play maybe, but not with confidence.
Okay.
On the Falcons side, you're starting Julio. You're probably starting Matt Ryan, even though the Bills' defense has been really good this year, and you're starting Devonta Freeman. He's much better at home. He's basically a lock for a few goal line looks. He's been great so far this year, even, hasn't had a huge workload. But Tevin Coleman gets worked in there, but I don't think you can trust him.
Philadelphia taking on the Chargers in L.A. in Carson. Producer Chris, what do we got?
Well, the Chargers need a W. First and foremost, but I think from a fantasy,
would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. But I think from a fantasy perspective, you're starting two guys every week on the Chargers, Keenan Allen and Melvin Gordon.
Indeed.
And we're still not sure about Melvin Gordon. You alluded to it earlier, James. But he had 15 carries, 78 yards in that first half against the Chiefs. So it looks like they got some rhythm in the running game. But if he doesn't go, listen, no Fletcher Cox, no Darby. I like Brandon Oliver. If he doesn't go, and I think if you roster Gordon, you should have Oliver anyway.
Yeah.
I kind of like Phillip this week. The Eagles have to go east to west. They gave up 24 points in that fourth quarter to the Giants.
Okay. Their secondary is banged up.
Yeah. And with no Fletcher Cox there, I think that pressure gets alleviated up front. And hopefully Phillip just makes good decisions.
This has to be the Riv week. He's got to do it.
Let me ask you something, Chris. Tyrell Williams, he's a guy I've been getting some questions about this week. I actually have him on a few teams. He's someone that I think is a really good player. He's been out on the field a ton. He's had 7, 5, and 7 targets, so the usage is kind of eh. What should we do with Tyrell? I think that if he doesn't kill it in this spot or at least do something, I'm definitely like he's on the drop radar for me. But my theory with him has just been that like – I think he's good. I think we all think he's good. But I don't know if this Chargers staff thinks he's good considering they drafted a receiver 7th overall. They're not really making him priority part of the game plan. What do you think?
I think Travis Benjamin is the wide receiver number 2 now. And I think he's healthy. Yeah. And I talked about this all training camp and preseason. I mean, all he did was make big plays. And all he's done is make big plays in the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
He had that 38-yard touchdown in week 1. I think he was 5 for 105 last week. So I think Tyrell Williams is a great player too, but I would pump the brakes because I think the Mike Williams return date is coming sooner than later. So I don't know if I necessarily drop him, see what he does this week. And then Hunter Henry's another guy. I mean, you go from 0 targets to 7 for 80 to 0 targets. I think he's got a matchup this week that could be favorable. I think Travis Kelce got off against the Eagles. I think Evan Ingram had five mm-hmm. catches last
Trends.
Week.
Trends, you know, yeah. every other week.
Hashtag
That's
crazy.
Right. It's every other week. He's due.
It's roulette, man.
He's due.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, I don't want to be counting on Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. All right, the 49ers taking on Arizona. Alex Gelhar, what you got?
Sad. If you're looking for a deeper streamer, I think Brian Hoyer certainly a mix.
Here we go. Get off.
The Cardinals have allowed top 10 quarterback performances to every quarterback they've faced, not named Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, man.
Don't hate on Fantasy Breakout Player of the Year. It's going to happen.
Good
Got
God.
That rushing touchdown last week.
Week four. We'll
yes!
see how long this
Let's
lasts.
Go.
This week
Let's
four.
Go,
no, I made that declaration as a hot take, and I got to ride it all year.
I love it.
But no, I think, like, seriously, like, streaming-wise, he could certainly be in the mix. The Cardinals are coming off a big emotional defeat. The 49ers also don't have to travel far. They're just cruising down the coast. Don't
True.
Have to really change time zones or anything. But
Indeed.
Decent spot. Carlos Hyde's, like we talked about off the top, he's been practicing all week. His touches have increased a lot. He's had 4+ targets in every game. I think he's a locked-in RB2. I'm not chasing Marquise Goodwin's deep play that he finally hit on last week, but I do think you can trust Pierre Garçon this week. He should move the chains a lot. And he's just an awesome player. So I love Pierre Garçon.
He made some ridiculous catches
catch he had with, like, his fingertips on
and
the deep throw was one of the plays of the game.
It was great.
Or one of the year, I mean. Probably.
Really, because he didn't even double catch it. He just caught it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good. So
it was
good.
It was
unreal.
On the flip side, too, I think Palmer's in a great spot. The 49ers pass defense has allowed just under 500 yards and 4 TDs the last 2 weeks, and that includes a game against the Seahawks offense when they did – nothing against them in week 2. You're starting Larry Fitz. I think J.J. Nelson
Old
and
man
John
Larry,
Brown
man.
Are certainly both in the mix as flex plays. And then that backfield puke. I don't want any yeah. part of it.
New York Giants.
Can
Go
I
ahead.
Just mention about Carson Palmer with the
Please.
With the Cardinals' run game being so anemic without David Johnson? Per Graham Barfield, the Cardinals have the third highest red zone pass percentage, which
nice.
Means, dude, Carson Palmer is just going to be throwing touchdowns all year.
Yep.
So I like him in this spot, too. I'm writing about him for FedEx.
I'm streaming him in a couple of leagues, too. Yeah, Palmer's a great spot.
Yeah.
New York Giants taking on Tampa Bay. Matt Harmon, what say you?
Yeah, the Giants last week showed a little bit of a different approach to their offense, and I'm writing about that in the Next Gen Stats column that should be up later in just a few hours. Eli Manning had the second fastest time to throw of any quarterback in week 3 at just 2 seconds. That was way off from 2.8. in week 1 and 2.6 in week 2. But dating back to 2016, the Giants offense has been at its best, and Eli has been at its best when they have sped up that time to throw. This was actually the first game the Giants have ever lost when he has had a majority of passes register as quick passes under 2.5 second time to throw.
In terms of, just so the viewers or the listeners kind of understand, 2.5 is kind of where you want to be at in that range. And anything less than 2.3 is fast.
Right.
And anything over 2.8 is...
2 is crazy.
2 is crazy.
Yeah.
Hashtag crazy.
So
Hashtag crazy.
Just to kind of, again, let the listeners in on the data that we're seeing. And I know that we're around it so often,
totally.
So, you know, we kind of live it. But
good,
yeah.
good call to give some more context to that. But what I think this means for the Giants offense is I think that this is good. You know, it helps alleviate some of that pressure on Manning. He's not having to make these real low percentage throws. I think it's a good thing for Sterling Shepard, who we saw really get rolling with a big play.
Right.
But I think he's going to be that type of, like, 5-catch-a-week sort of player if they keep this sort of quick passing game type of thing up. I think he's the better receiver than Brandon Marshall right
Obviously.
Now. And Beckham is back, of course. It's also good for Shane Vereen, who's the only ownable asset in this backfield, simply just because he catch pass. Yeah.
Shane Vereen has missed 2 consecutive days of practice with a calf.
Right. So there's
Orleans
that.
Darkwa has also missed 2 consecutive days of practice.
My God.
It looks like they're going to be rolling out. Paul Perkins might be literally their only healthy back.
No.
Wayne Gallman,
who they drafted.
The deep sleeper.
No.
Derp
slurper?
But somebody
no,
to
but
mention.
You know what? He will. I guarantee you that if
no.
it's a goal-to-go situation,
he'll
get in there.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. He's a big boy, and he can move the pile.
Yeah, you're probably right. And on the Tampa Bay side, you know, this is – I think it's a decent bounce-back spot for – I can't really get a feel on this game, whether I think it's going to be low-scoring, high-scoring, because both these defenses are pretty good.
Yeah.
And both these offenses obviously have potential, but we've seen kind of mixed results so far. But
you rolling out quiz?
No, probably not.
I don't think you can, man. I think you wait till Doug Martin gets back next week.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't really done much. The workload wasn't there, obviously, because they fell behind.
Yeah.
I think he's like a not great flex option, basically.
Yeah, he loses. You need him to be in a positive game script because they don't target the backs. Like, even Chuck Sims there isn't getting a lot of pass-catching work. They're just not targeting their backs right now.
Too many good receivers, right, you know, to deal
true.
With that.
Oakland taking on Denver. AFC West battle. French, what you got?
Yeah, man, both teams kind of looking for a bounce back here. C.J. Anderson and Trevor Siemian had a bad outing last week against Buffalo. I think it's a good bounce back spot for them. They're at home against an Oakland defense that got ravaged by the Redskins last week. So yeah. Now Oakland is still on the road coming into Denver after that disheartening loss on Sunday night.
It's just baffling.
Like, what happened, man?
I don't know.
It just was weird. Crabtree was on the injury report with a chest. Apparently, he's been cleared to practice.
Okay.
Amari Cooper was on the injury report last week with a knee, and then again this week with a knee. He might not be 100%. They're just not really giving us all the information.
Well, they have two catches, 16 yards total.
Yeah.
To Washington.
They
makes
also
no
something crazy.
They've historically been real bad against this Denver
yeah,
team.
Yeah, and Denver's defense is one of the best in the league. I mean, maybe – I don't know. I don't know what to tell you if you – Crab and Cooper because
so
like they're your top guys and
yeah
it's hard to bench them.
Oh yeah, super difficult. I don't know how you do it.
I like Jared Cook here. I don't know if he can roll Marshawn Lynch out though.
I gave a deep sleeper last night in Oakland. I had asked the research department to kind of give me these numbers, but you know, Denver has given up nearly 30% of all of their passing yards and touchdowns to the shallow middle part of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to go look at where Oakland is deploying those targets, those were going largely to Seth Roberts, who is on the field a lot.
Woo.
Red zone maven.
If you're looking for a deep, deep sleeper, I'm rolling with Seth Roberts in the danger zone. That's
nice.
That's what I'm saying.
And I think you're starting to Manny Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, obviously.
There you go. All right, Sunday night football. Colts taking on the Seattle Seahawks. I laugh because I just feel like Indianapolis is just going to get steamrolled here, but I could be wrong. Alex, what you got?
They probably should. The Seahawks have been getting gashed on the ground, though. So, I mean, like, if you're hurting
for
running backs.
Random and
I know,
weird.
It's weird. But if you're hurting for running backs, like, Frank Gore is grinding it out still. You know, he keeps punching Father Time in the face
right
and,
the
like,
face.
running for more yards, and he got in the end zone last week. So
crazy.
Very low on flex. And then T.Y. Hilton, I think I haven't gotten to this game yet. My matchups column will be posted later today. But T.Y. Hilton, I think, has done pretty well against the Seahawks. And he is that type of speedy, shifty receiver
yeah.
who can get around on the Legion of Boom. So
yep.
if Brissett's going to pummel him with targets again and they get behind as we expect, I think this could be another week where you roll out T.Y.
Okay.
On the flip side, you want to fire up all your Seahawks this week. They're coming
yeah.
back at home. They desperately need a win. It's in prime time. Russ looked like he got right a little bit last
little
week.
Bit, yeah.
So I'm down with Russ.
What's up with Doug Baldwin?
Baldwin's supposed to play.
Okay.
Like they said, it wasn't once it's serious. He's kind of day to day, and all the expectations are that he's going to play. But if you're a Doug Baldwin owner, maybe pick up Paul Richardson if he's still available, just in case. Tyler Lockett. Because if Baldwin sits, those guys are going to get a lot of work.
This could be
a
Tyler Lockett game.
I don't know, man. I'm still out on Jimmy Graham right now.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm not starting him yet.
He's not healthy.
And he had seven catches, right?
I don't know.
Well, you're going to Jimmy Graham with seven, you know, with coming off seven catches with this tight end market?
He's been doing squat otherwise, though. He's injured.
Give me a good bounce back game from Jimmy Graham.
All right, if you believe it, then that's great. But I'm concerned.
Monday Night Football, Washington looking to continue and build upon their big win against Oakland.
Two big wins in a row.
That's true. Continuing their primetime slot here, Monday Night Football, Washington. In Arrowhead, taking on KC. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
All right. I think this is the week where Terrell Pryor and Jamison Crowder get going.
Yeah, buddy. Let's go.
And here's why.
God, we've said this 3 weeks in a row.
Listen, but I think – I've had a lot of people ask me, like, what is it time to panic on Terrell Pryor? I'm like,
yes.
Well, it's
–
Yeah. You over – that's your problem. You overpaid for him. Like,
yep.
But you can't sell right now because nobody's buying.
No.
And it really it's the same thing with Jamison Crowder. He just wasn't as expensive in drafts. And
I tried to trade Terrell Pryor for Matt Stafford in a six-point touchdown league.
Nobody's doing that.
No.
No one's buying
no
Pryor
deal.
Right now.
Damn.
And I don't think like –
How
this
crazy
is
that?
Hashtag crazy.
It's crazy. If he pops off, sell high.
And when I say like this is the week he gets going,
yeah.
I don't mean this is the week he gets going and then pays back that draft cost. That's not happening. That's out of the equation to me. But what I do think this is a good matchup for him, because just the way the Chiefs deploy their cornerbacks, they leave Marcus Peters at that left corner position.
Right.
Terrell Pryor has taken – or he's seen 63% of his targets from when he lines up at left wide receiver, putting him on the other side of the field. Mm. Jamison Crowder, 67% of his targets from the slot. The Chiefs are top three in yards allowed to left wide receivers and slot wide receivers. That's just where you pick on this team. So if Washington game plans around that, I think those two guys could be the focal point of the offensive attack. And I think this is the way it's going to be with this Washington offense. Like, it's going to be – a game plan dependent week to week sort of thing that's going to be tough for us to figure out. But this at least looks like a spot. I don't know how you can deploy these guys confidently, but where you can tell yourself the story that they hit. So to me, that's the big story on Washington side. And
can I just say though, on Washington side too, I don't know why, but I'm getting really excited about Kirk Cousins, because he's got Josh Doctson now. If they could get production out of Vernon Davis, they've got Terrell Pryor, Jamison Crowder, Chris Thompson out of the backfield. I mean, all of a sudden this Washington offense looks pretty loaded from pass catching perspective.
Honestly, this was one of those situations. I think that Buddy Rumford Johnny says buy the pancakes, not the syrup, or might be mixing that away, or mixing that around. But it's like when there's a quarterback where you're like, man, they've got all these great pass catchers. Like, don't go draft Terrell Pryor in the third round, Jamison Crowder in the fifth round, or Jordan Reed in the fourth round. Draft the quarterback, because that's where it's all going to intersect. And I agree with you. This is a really talented group. And it's good that you mentioned Josh Doctson, because he had that one big catch. It was really just one catch. But let's hopefully this is the start of momentum building
for
him.
He's so good. If he gets out there more and is healthy, it's going
to
be good.
And on the Chiefs side, I mean, what do you need to say about the Chiefs? Like, you play Hill, you play Kelsey, you play the best running back in fantasy football.
That's right, buddy.
Alex Smith.
The biggest bargain in fantasy football, Kareem Hunt. There you go.
Just outrageous note from Next Gen Stats, by the way. Just like, he has averaged, or he's posted 345 yards after a defender, on all plays after a defender closes within 1 yard of him. The next highest back is Ezekiel Elliott with 244.
Amazing.
It's 100 yards better. It's outrageous.
You watch him though, and like, I don't think there's ever a play where he doesn't break at least one tackle.
Yeah, he's
like the
he's
first
incredible.
Guy never brings him down.
He's good. He's really good. All right, let's close out with Daily Daps. We shall start with the WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gailhar. What do you got?
I was also going to dap the Foreigner trailer, because I cannot I saw you put it on here for your set. We went to Kingsman, which was fun. I don't think we dapped that last weekend. We went to Kingsman.
Oh, okay.
Which was fun. But
fun movie?
I was sitting in the trailer, and I had my beer and I had my popcorn, and then that Foreigner trailer came on, and I was like, take all of my money. Like, legitimately.
Jackie Chan looks like a total badass. In that film.
I love Jackie Chan movies, and I love his older stuff, and this looks like it could be a good one. He's got a good action director alongside him, too, and I just like...
He's playing a character that's a little bit outside of what we've come to know for Jackie Chan, because usually he's that happy-go-lucky, kick-ass type dude. But
he's always said he likes to merge comedy with action more in a lot of his stuff.
Yeah, but he's totally off the comedy thing here.
This looks straight-up dark action movie, and I am very excited.
Man.
And I think that was the only thing I was going to dap so far, because I've been busy all week with work. So, yeah.
Right, there you go. I will daily dap not only the trailer for Foreigner, and if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's called The Foreigner with Jackie Chan. I will also daily dap a fellow by the name of Jim Wright. He is a retired naval officer, a really good writer. I've actually been following him for a few years now, but a very good writer. It's political, folks. Okay, so it's political writing. But again, if you just appreciate, his takes, or maybe if you just appreciate the craft of writing, go find Jim Wright.
Stick to sports, bro.
he's got a blog as dated as that sounds, but the blog is stonekettle.com if you want to go find it. And he's also on Twitter at stonekettle if you'd like to find him there. So there you go. Franchise, what you got?
I've been on a Radiohead tip lately, man. They used to be a rock band, and they kind of evolved into this electronic experimental band. But
indeed,
they have some bangers. I put together a playlist of my favorite Radiohead songs
on
Spotify. I shared it on Twitter yesterday. The diehards know there's a couple smashes on the In Rainbows Disc 2. Bangers and Mash and Down is the New Up. Those are my jams. Check out the playlist on Spotify. My username is Matt Fran J, so
Fran
check that out.
J. Okay, Matt Harmon, what do you got?
So I'm going to dap a piece on ESPN.com that I read last night before going to bed.
Okay.
Instead of watching Gordon Ramsay and Tasty cooking videos on Facebook like I normally
nice.
Do in my sad existence.
Yo, MasterChef.
Okay.
Ended great.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was reading it last night. It's a piece on Eddie Lacy and like his
struggle
weight
with weight.
Loss.
Yeah.
It came out last week, but I didn't get a chance to read it, but
it's a good piece. It made me feel bad about every take I've ever had about Eddie Lacy.
Well, it just goes to – it's a good reminder in general for all of us that, like, these are human beings. And, I mean, some of the pieces, like, especially as somebody that has struggled with weight in their life before, like, there was one line that I thought was just incredible. The guy who wrote it, Ian Allen, he says, "Guys like us don't garner much sympathy. There's no backlash when we're the butt of sitcom jokes. It's easy to look at us and assume a lack of willpower, a weakness in our character – and in our darker moments, we can't help but wonder, are those people right?" That
damn
really resonated with me. It's like BoJack level line.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff.
But it was awesome. I'd recommend everybody read it. Not because, like, I don't know. I just think it's good for everybody to have that sort of perspective.
Producer Chris, what do you got?
All right, this is the last time I'm going to do it, but I completed the Fantasy Circle on Chargers Weekly.
Oh,
Alex
good.
Gelhar joined me yesterday.
It's
Alex
go.
Gelhar and Lights Out, Sean Merriman.
Oh, yeah.
On the Chargers podcast.
Here we go.
It's going to post this morning.
It?
So.
It's
good to have him as my opening act. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, warm it up for you.
Save the best for last.
That's incredible. There you go. All right, what a great show we had here today for the franchise, Matt Franciscovich, for Alex Gelhar, the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, and West Virginia's finest, the creator of Reception, Matt Harmon. I'm James Coe, and producer Chris as well. We'll see you.
Good luck, everybody.
See you later.